Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. We continue to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. Patrick here. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Thank you so much for doing what you do every day, putting it on the line, rain or shine. You go out there, you put on the uniform, and you give 100%. Without you, we would not have this great country. Thank you for what you do. Keep up the fantastic work. Ah, folks, super excited for 2020. I hope you are too. I was recently down in Atlanta, Georgia, rocking it, getting final touches together for Team Triad. My good friends Jared Hardy and Kerry Wooten spent the last couple days together putting the final touches on Team Triad leadership and development. Your ascent begins in 2020, folks. And our mission is simple. And that is to equip organizational leaders such as yourself, and even if you have rank, you're a leader, folks, with the skills and ability to unlock your leadership potential, get the most out of your career, and live your purpose beyond the badge. We're going to talk about addressing your fear, reigniting the fire of purpose, visualization for success, and so much more, folks. There's still seats available for the first session here in February, February 19th, at Larimer County Sheriff's Office here in Larimer County, Colorado. Go to mindsetenterprise.net/teamtriad to get more information and to register now. Will not be disappointed. Oh, folks, so excited for my micro book, Evolve. I wrote for you, the criminal justice professional. Just sent out a bunch of copies to people everywhere around the country. If you want an autographed copy of my micro book, Evolve, you have to have this book if you're a first responder or a criminal justice professional. Send me an email, DM me. I'll get one in the mail to you, an autographed copy. If you want a free ebook version of my micro book, Evolve, head over to the website, cjevolution.com. You're going to get your free copy of my micro book, Evolve. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Detecticam. This amazing and innovative company is protecting our most valuable resource out there right now, and that is the people who are protecting us, our brave men and women, every day from various threats, namely illicit drugs and explosives. This amazing technology fits in the palm of their hand. If you've never heard of Detecticam, head over to the website, cjevolution.com. You're going to see a link to Detecticam and see how they can help you better protect your troops. On to the show. It was such an honor and privilege having my next guest on the show, Herb Thompson. Herb Thompson is a former U.S. Army Green Beret serving this great country for many years with honor and distinction. He is an entrepreneur. He is also the author of The Transition Mission. This is a must-have book for our brave men and women who are transitioning from military service to the civilian world. And that is just the tip of the iceberg. Listen to this amazing show with Herb Thompson next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, Herb Thompson. Welcome, sir.
Hey, pleasure to be here. I'm very happy to get on here and have a little chat.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. And first of all, for those people out there who don't know who you are, a little bit about who Herb Thompson is.
Yeah, so I retired as a Green Beret early 2019, Special Forces, most of the time known as Green Beret. After 20 and a half years, I was in the Army, the Drill Sergeant of the Year for the Army in 2008. So it's kind of unique. I'm the only person ever done those two things in the Army. Yeah. And then now decided, hey, what am I going to do when I get out? So I'm a management consultant with Accenture. And then also doing my graduate degree through Cornell and their executive MBA program. Oh, by the way, I also, in all my free time, mentor veterans to help them in the transition process because it's difficult. And then a part of the Green Marines who we'll probably get into talking about a little bit.
Yeah. Well, first of all, brother, thank you so much for your service to this great country. Appreciate it, and I know the listeners do, and I want to talk about your book, Transition Mission, and, of course, Green Marines. But I always ask Leos, I always ask military people, you know, what made you join the military? What was the catalyst that said, hey, I know you joined from a very young age, but what was the reason?
Yeah, I don't know if I can exactly put my finger on it. I didn't come from a military family. I found out after I joined, my grandpa was an infantryman in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. But from the age of, 7 or 8 years old, I knew I was going to be a soldier. And then I that's where I was going, and probably why I didn't apply myself necessarily in high school, because I knew as soon as I graduated high school, that's where I was going. I don't know the reasons. I try to think back, and I was like, okay, our family made us go to the Memorial Day parade every year and see that. And just the slightest little things have shown respect for our country and our veterans. And then part of wanting to be a Green Beret was one time I saw a article about Roy Benavidez, Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam. That's just, you want to talk about a hero and out of this world. Mm-hmm. He was that. And that's when I said, I wanted to be a Green Beret. Yeah. And then the rest, happened over time.
And, we were talking a couple of weeks ago before you came on, and we were talking about, you don't hear a lot. I was in the Army. I wasn't a Green Beret. I was in 82nd, and I think Delta was down the road, if I'm not mistaken. And then, a lot of groups, special forces groups, were also at Fort Bragg. But you don't hear a lot about the Green Berets. You hear a lot about the SEALs, and the SEALs are great. And I know a lot of the SEALs. I'm sure you do too. But why don't you hear a lot about the Green Berets? I mean, maybe you can answer that. Maybe you can't.
Yeah, well, I've thought about this, especially in my transition, and talking with people, put a lot of thought in this. And I mean, one of our motto, one of them is quiet professionals.
Yeah.
So just go about our job. And truthfully, if you look at really what our job is, most people see us jump out. They think of Rambo.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I learned about Green Berets.
Yeah. That's not me. That's not most of us. Our point is to work with an indigenous force, build them up. So send 12 of us in, we raise 500,000, kind of like after 9/11, that's what happened. Yeah. My brothers from fifth group who came before me, they went in, helped the, Northern Alliance decimate the Taliban in like 6 weeks. So it's not sexy. You're living with the indigenous, you're eating with them. It's just not cool, if you will. To me, it's cool, but to most people, you don't mm-hmm. see that. And it's a long game. So, hey, we go live with them, and it's not that we do direct action and take down houses and stuff, but mm-hmm. really, we're more there to take over a country versus hit a house.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about, I know some of the training you guys go through, Q course and all that stuff. What was the training like for those listeners out there, Herb, to get your tab down the road to get that Green Beret? I mean, a lot, it's some of the most difficult training in the world.
It's, I would say, you live your life in a fishbowl for however mm-hmm. long it's there. You're being sure. assessed every day. And then it happens when you graduate, you get your beret, and then you're assessed every day on your team. And if you aren't cutting it, you're going to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
But you start with a selection. It's changed 2 weeks, a month, 3 weeks, but they basically put you through the ringer, but they give you zero guidance. Hey, candidate, walk until we tell you to stop. Hey, candidate, do X, do Y. And it's just you and a rucksack walking through the day and night. And then there's a team portion, which a lot of being a Green Beret is how well you can work as a team. You make it through that suck fest. Then you go out through the whole qualification course, better known as Q course. And there's been changes, but you do a language portion. So you learn a foreign language for 4 to 6 months. You build your tactical skill sets, small unit tactics, how to operate, as a small, small force in like infantry operations. Uh-huh. And then you learn a occupational specialty. So there's, four you can learn starting out on the enlisted side, which is engineer, weapons, communications, and medic. And then the officers go through theirs. And mm-hmm. so you go through that, you go through SEER school, get slapped around, learn how to, act as a POW, which to me is a, wrestler in high school. Like, oh, you're going to starve me and slap me? I don't care. Like,
yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, this is too bad. So once you do all that, you do your that. And then they do a culmination course called Robin Sage, which is all over North Carolina into Tennessee, South Carolina. And it's a simulated unconventional warfare exercise. So you're out in the population, you plan for it for a couple of weeks, and then you go out and you're actually doing things around those areas, doing missions out in the population, living out there, which most time is out in the woods doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But you have a partner force, you do all that, and then you complete all that. Okay, congratulations, the easy part's over.
Yeah,
now go get to the real work.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of Delta are selected from the groups, right?
Yeah, there's a good number of Delta come from Special Forces groups. A large number come from the Ranger Regiment because they're more direct action. And then, you know, a few from the regular Army.
Yeah. Now, what is your take, without getting too wrapped up in world events? I mean, you were an operator for many years. You still got your finger on the pulse. But what do you think about what's going on now in the Middle East? You know, we just took out the guy in Iran. But what do you think is going to play out in this? You've been around for a long time, Herb.
Yeah, this is just my sole opinion as far as taking him out. Smoke him where you got him. And they got him and they smoked him. But no, I mean, I purposely volunteered to go 5th Special Forces Group because our area of operations in the Middle East, because there has not been peace there in 2,000 years, and I didn't figure it would break out during my career.
Yeah.
So they're just never going to get along. So I don't see a long-term solution for peace, and that you could write a, you know, do a doctoral thesis on it and still not have the right answers probably. But a lot of it comes down to, you know, religion. There's long held grievances. We, you know, the lines were drawn for countries, you know, a little less than 100 years ago, and they were kind of arbitrary. So people just don't get along. And, you know, I always say when it's 128 degrees and sand's blowing in your face, it's pretty easy to get pissed off. So that's kind of what the Middle East is. So we have to stay engaged, but, you know, we have to take out the bad guys, but there's also a, you know, that's only one component. There's providing them means to govern themselves, exactly. Providing an economy and jobs so people aren't wanting to blow themselves up. But you're talking generations when, you know, two-year-olds learn that we hate America and we need to kill them. Like, that's going to take generational change to fix it. And we have to stay engaged at some capacity to make that happen.
Yeah, I always think about the Israelis and the Palestinians. I mean, that stuff's been going on for years.
Yeah.
And it's never going to end. I mean, I hate to sound like a pessimist, but it's been going on for 1,000 years.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, there you've seen both the military and law enforcement. Hey, there's evil in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And some people have to go take care of it. And there's always going to be evil in the world in that part.
Now, do you think, really quick, do you think that, you know, Iran is going to say, all right, you know, a lot of posturing, a lot of talking shit, but they're not going to do anything. I mean, we'll decimate them. I mean, and it's not, and to be clear, I mean, you know, Herb, it's not the people probably, it's just the idiots at top, right?
Correct. Yeah. And that's my experience over there mostly is it's very easy to, you know, get people who are feel aggrieved to, you know, get them on your side and go against me. If you give me a crystal ball, you know, that $2 will get you a crappy cup of coffee would be Iran will do some stuff, but they won't come at us one-on-one. It's just kind of like ISIS did, right?
Yeah.
It's, nobody sneak can attacks, match us one-on-one.
IEDs, so bullshit,
Irregular asymmetric warfare, irregular warfare, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, have some people here. Like, perfect example is what they did the embassy. Have some thugs go burn it out, chop it down. We send soldiers over. I mean, that's a victory for them until we smoke their guy. But it's they had minimal cost, no loss of life. And what do? We send, you know, hundreds of troops over to reinforce our stuff. And, you know, so they can play the long game. And that's where I think the difference between over there and here is a lot of the other areas of the world play the long game where we're more on a 4-year election cycle game.
Yeah. It really is. But I'm glad we did something with this guy. He should have been taken out a long time ago. I mean, and I'm glad we finally did something. I don't care what certain people say.
Yeah, no, a lot of beers are getting lifted and toasted tonight in his, not honor, but in the happiness of him being gone. Yeah.
Now let's switch gears for a minute, sir. I mean, you, again, have done so much. SF, you were in the military for a long time. Now you're working on, you mentioned it, in, you know, first came on, about consulting and working with veterans transitioning, you know, from active military service into the civilian world. And we talked a little bit off the air, Herb, about how difficult it is for some, not all, but for some to make that transition. Why is it?
We talked a little about it, but it's a way of life. Everybody who's doing a job pivot, if you're a banker and you want to go be a consultant or you want to go into construction, you're going to have a tough time. But you're not changing your way of life as a military person. It's your way of life. It's 24/7. Oh, by the way, you know, the risk of losing your life is there. You're going away from home. And like I said, I think it's the same thing for law enforcement and first responders, that every day your life's on the line, but it's a way of life. You're But more than that, you're in with a team. You got your tribe. Everybody understands it. You know, your politics, your religion don't matter. It's we're a team. Let's go get the bad guys. And then you go, okay, I'm leaving this. And it's a big shock and transformation that has to go through mentally of like, that was me before. Yes, I used to be what other people call some badass Green Beret. I'm not that anymore.
Yeah.
I need to find the new me because I was always me. I just happened to wear a uniform. Mm-hmm. The uniform didn't make me. I made the uniform. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that goes across all of them. So having that transformational shift and going, hey, what do I really want to do with my life? How can I, you know, what's going to be my successful outside of the uniform?
Yeah. Now, do you think that we're doing enough? I mean, the VA and other groups, you know, the government is doing enough for, I mean, you're not very far removed from it. Do you think we're doing enough to help veterans make the transition? Because I think we're a lot better than when I was in years ago. Do you think we're doing what we can for our brave men and women?
Yeah, I think we can always make an improvement, mm-hmm. but it's come leaps and bounds over what it used to be. So it's better, and there still needs to be more work done. So, yeah, and you know, there's part of it's the veteran ownership of their process. And then, I mean, there's no shortage. There's over 48,000 veteran service organizations to help. You got the VA. There's a bunch of media attention. Mm-hmm. You can't shake a stick without somebody wanting to help a service member. Yeah. And I was having a conversation recently with someone, and you and I talked a little bit about it. Now, if you look at law enforcement, first responders, people like that, there's not many organizations out there helping them.
Yeah.
Nor are they getting the, hey, let's do a parade for them. Let's do this. So I for me, I believe veterans really have it very good. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a challenge, but there's no shortage of resources if you ask for help. I think it's a little worse for, you know, law enforcement or first responders that there's not necessarily all those people to help. And, but they're going through a similar process.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it's, you know, I am so glad, you know, just to preface, I am so glad that, you know, military personnel overall are treated good. I mean, they're not, I mean, you turn on the news, Urban, see what, not all law enforcement, but it's just the environment we're living in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad that, you know, our brave men and women who serve in the military, you know, are not having to deal with that. I don't know if I told you about my son just joined the Air Force. I maybe told you that a couple of weeks ago, and he hasn't gone yet, but, you know, I just didn't want him to get in an environment. And I'm sure he's going to see some of that, you know, people who don't like the military, but I'm just glad we're in an environment where there is a lot of support out there for, you know, the brave men and women who serve and protect this great country.
Because, yeah. I couldn't imagine being like Vietnam timeframe.
Oh,
soldiers were getting spit on. And I don't know what it was like for police officers, law enforcement back then. At least what I've known, it seems like almost maybe reverse, like they were kind of looked upon in their small towns and as the good people in a lot of cases, and the military was the bad people. And mm-hmm. maybe it's just how the, you know, country shifted in the polarization, some other stuff.
Well, I think some of it is too. It's just, you know, I think some politicians, you know, demonize, you know, police officers. And I think the masses, or not everybody, but some people are just like, well, what they said goes, I guess. They can't, you know, think for themselves. But
exactly.
What are some of the issues, again, getting back to, you know, veterans transitioning? I mean, you know, set aside PTSD and all these other horrible things that our brave men and women come back from combat, military theater overseas. What are some of the things that they're struggling with? Self-confidence? I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, not being part of a team, but what else are you hearing?
Yeah, self-confidence. And I had this. I was, you know, I think anybody would say I had a very successful military career. Mm-hmm. But just for me, I was like, well, what does that mean outside of uniform? Because let's be real, a lot of times the military is easy. Hey, show up on time, bust your ass and work hard.
Just do what you're told.
Yeah, do it. You know, you do that and you're going to succeed. So I had that concern. What can I do? So that's part of it is, hey, can I be successful out? And then people start to question, well, did I even do good things in the military? Like, did I just imagine it? So there's that process to what else can I do? I've done this for 4 years or I've done this for 30 years. What else is there? And a lot of it is we don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we don't know a lot. So we don't know a lot of times, like for me, 20 years or somebody who's been in a long time, there's a whole, you know, world out here that we aren't exposed to as far as different careers that we just don't know what happens. Like, and I always say for me, a banker, hey, I know there was tellers in the bank and some people that were in the back office in suits, but when people talk to me, oh, you want to go into banking? I knew it had to be more than that.
Yeah.
You know, there's Wall Street and stuff. So finding that out, kind of, I think realizing that what they, that chapter of their life is done and leaving that behind, that's a process. Cause a lot of times it, they, people get their identity from their service.
Yeah.
So how, yeah. Having to leave that behind, that's some internal judgment of, yep, that's not me anymore. It's okay. I did my part. Time for somebody else to carry the torch. You know, those are a few things.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, when I told you I did 23 years in law enforcement, retired last year. And I remember when I was telling people, because I'm still fairly young, turned just 51 in a couple months. And I remember telling people I was going to retire. They looked like I had a second head. And they're like, what are you talking about, dude? What else are you going to do? So my point in that is, I think you have to, and I love the brave men and women who serve in law enforcement. This is not a dig on them. But for me, I had to get, you know, people outside of law enforcement to say, hey, man, you can succeed out here. You can succeed out in the private sector. So I think sometimes you have to look at the people you're surrounding yourself with.
Yeah,
definitely. The people who are pumping you up, you know what I mean? Instead of the people who are like, you can't do that, Herb. Are you crazy, man?
Or giving you the harsh reality. I think a lot of times we see that with veterans, but we also see, oh, you're a veteran. People want to hire veterans. You know, you hear that all the time. Oh, we want to hire veterans.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service means thank you for your service. It doesn't mean thank you for your service and here's a job.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's another part is some people think, oh, because a lot of times you hear them places like, oh, people want to thank us for service. They value us. They want to hire veterans. Oh, I'm going to get a job. This is easy. And it's, everybody has to work for a job. Heck, unemployment rates are low. Everybody's has to fight hard to get a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I was, and that's, again, going back to what you were saying is, you know, and I talk to first responders, you talk to military, and it always amazes me, you know, how, and it goes back into mindset, what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it amazes me how many first responders I talk to and they're like, man, I can't do anything else. And I'm like, are you crazy? You could do so much with the skill set that you have and the leadership and the communication and the experiences you have and dealing with people and helping people. You got so much to offer. But again, it's just that mindset, I think, that we get into that, you know, we're our own worst enemy sometimes.
I agree. And I think the one of the best ways to do that is overcome that is by talking with people.
Yeah.
And the more you talk to people, it starts opening your eyes to, oh, wow, there's these other possibilities. Oh, I can do this. I can do this. And through that, you know, and you probably for law enforcement people, they're going to start with other law enforcement people and then they branch out for veterans. They start with veterans and then they branch out to non-veterans and they, you know, begin to learn and help inform their decisions.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your book, brother, Transition Mission. We've been talking about it pretty much the whole time, but talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I was kind of disappointed in the transition process that I went through. I treated it like a mission.
Yeah.
And because I didn't know any better what I was going to do. I'd never been a civilian. I mean, I was 17 when I joined, so I was a snot-nosed kid. And I said, I'm going to plan this like it's the, you know, this is a mission we're deploying for. And that's how I approached it. So once I finished that, I was like, wow, I did a lot of work. I had 2,000 informational interviews, which is just having a chat with somebody. Mm-hmm. I spent over 1,000 hours doing internet research. I spent hundreds of hours just doing self-reflection of like who I am as a man. Who do I want to be? And basically, what do I want my obituary to say? Let's backwards plan from that. Where do I want to get to in life? And I was like, well, I need to share this. I'm helping mentor folks, but I can do more than just a, you know, one or two I talk to a day in my free time. I can reach more. So I said, let's get this together in a easy to read book that kind of shares everything I learned through the process. A lot of it through my eyes with some reality of my failures in the transition and where I struggled and where I succeeded, and people can kind of put themselves and see their own, oh, my skills. Maybe I was a tanker or maybe I was a policeman.
Yeah.
I can use these skills and translate them like he did here. And that was the genesis for the book. And it was all about just, you know, making a difference for people. Cause at the end of the day, it was really for one reason. I think our country's not at a great point right now.
Yeah.
With so how polarizing it is and everything. And I believe the more veterans that are successful that get out there in the communities and companies across this country, the better our country will be for it.
Mm. Yeah.
And well, that was kind of my way of doing it.
And it can be found, I know it's on Amazon, anywhere else?
Amazon, I believe Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, pretty much any online bookstore, We're doing some work since I self-published to get it into some bookstores, but it's doing for a little while there. It was a bestseller on Amazon. So
that's awesome, brother.
I like to see it get back up there just because it means it's getting in people's hands who need it.
Yeah. And it'll be linked up in the show notes for people who want the Transition Mission. Now, how was your experience really quick? How was your experience about writing? I wrote a book last year and I thought, I went in a little naive and I did a lot of research and stuff like that, but for those aspiring authors out there, brother, who might be wanting to pen a book, what advice would you give them?
My first thing would be writing the book is the easy part.
Exactly.
And if you don't think that's easy, then you might want to reassess. It's got to be something you're passionate about and you want to do and stay true to yourself. But that's the easy part. It's the how do I get this thing published? Do I go self-publishing through a publisher? That is a process that is much more different than writing the book.
Yeah. And I agree with you. It's people don't think about that stuff, you know, sometimes.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I was like, well, it's going to be, you know, but it's a pain. So, but it's worth it. Like I said, I wanted to continue to give back and it's all worth it in the end.
Yeah, it definitely is. Just from, I knew I had given it to some people before publishing it. Hey, you know, I want to send out some wind dummies there to make sure we're going to land on the drop zone.
Yeah.
And the response from everyone was phenomenal. And they had, a couple feedback here or there, which was really like spelling or something. And so I was like, I knew it was going to be good, but just hearing back from people, like a couple people have said, hey, this is changing my life right now. I'm sitting with my wife. I've been struggling with my transition. I'm reassessing right now. Thank you for saving our marriage. Thank you for saving us. And I'm just beyond, humbled. I don't even know a word. I got goosebumps saying it right now.
Yeah. And that's what keeps you going, man. And that's what it's about. So now, can you talk about Green Berets?
Yeah. So a lot of people are like, what is that? And it's not PETA. It's not some crazy environmental group. Hey, good. They get choice to do what they want. It's all about just making a difference, acting local, thinking global. So, hey, if it's, do a good deed. It really comes down to that. Do a good deed. Hey, on your way to work, pick up a piece of trash. Whether you go pick up trash at the park, whether you hold the door open for somebody, smile, help an elder across the street. Just, I think there's a lot of, David Pye, who founded it, and Paul Toulon, who's big here in the U.S. leading it. And there's no judgment. You do it once and you're a Green Marine for life. Hey, you picked up piece of trash on your way to work when you got out of your car, threw in the trash can. You're a Green Marine. Smile.
Yeah.
Let's just make our communities better.
And I love it because you guys believe, and I'm just reading, you believe you need to stop relying on the government and corporations to make changes on your behalf. Do it yourself. Take that initiative. Take some actions. Quit relying on other people.
Yeah, and it's simple. We're not saying, hey, go out and hold a protest. Don't go.
But
take 2 minutes of your time and, stop. Exactly. Want somebody else to do it. Just do it with a smile and go do something good for your community.
And I think that, I love that because I think so many people out there, I've been guilty of it too. It's like, oh, well, somebody else will do it. There's a piece of trash right there. Yeah. I'll just wait till somebody else gets. But I love it. It's so simple, but it's so powerful.
Yeah, that's all it is. No judgment. You don't want to do it. Okay, cool. We'll keep doing it. And through positivity, like we've had a lot of people like, this isn't going to save the world. There's 8 million pounds of trash in the ocean. Okay, I can't go clean that up. But I know if I pick up half a pound of trash and that person does, and 8 million of us pick up a half pound of trash, we got 4 million pounds of trash picked up. Hey, we're making progress.
One micro mission at a time.
Yep, the micro missions. That's all it is. Micro missions for macro impact.
Well, brother, where can people find you? We talked about your book. I know it's on Amazon and Barnes, but where can people find more information about the Green Berets and Herb Thompson?
Yeah, definitely about me would be SF2biz.com. That's the nonprofit I run to help Green Berets transition out into business. And then also, LinkedIn's probably the easiest spot. Hit me up on LinkedIn and we'll get a chat going, or, just if you want to see, I try to post relevant content any day. And same with the Green Berets for right now, that's where it is. We're going through a process to kind of do it the right way and not do it the way we believe in not. So mostly it's on LinkedIn for now.
So for anybody out there who might be struggling and might have anxiety, they're getting ready, to ETS out of the military or whatever branch, What are some quick pieces of advice you would give them, brother?
It's going to be okay. You're not going to solve the problem today. Mm-hmm. You know, but and use the skills they've learned. The skills they learn can work to prep for their transition and can work when they're outside. And then just stay positive. It's going to be okay. Over 200,000 people get out of the service every year. It's going to be okay. And then ask for help. Hey, ask for help. There is no shortage of people wanting to help, but they don't know to do that unless somebody says something.
And if I could just add something really quick, it's okay to ask for help.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed. I mean, put your pride aside. Everybody needs help sooner or later, right?
Yeah, I certainly did. I wouldn't be where I was in my transition. And that's part of the book, you know, is paying it forward, because so many people took time, whether it was a 15-minute call or they had multiple talks with me or they connected me with someone. But it all took me having to ask for help, which I'm going to admit wasn't the easiest thing for me to do.
Well, it never is.
No, but and a lot of people ask me, well, how can I pay you back because you helped me? Well, help somebody else, because that's what I'm doing. Just keep paying it forward.
Yeah. And it's not a sign of, I mean, really quick. I mean, here you are, you big badass Green Beret. And it is not a sign of weakness to ask for help. I mean, so many people I talk to, man. Yeah, it's a sign of strength, man. I mean, you don't know everything. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about the listener out there who might be struggling. And I was the same way. I was like, I'm not asking for help. Don't think I'm weak. Well, you know, it's a sign of strength.
Definitely. Yes. And I think just overcome that, I think, you know, that'll help with this, you know, suicide problems, all that. Like, just ask for help. There's people want to help. Even if, hey, you talk, we listen. That's what it is. There's no judgment. Like, everybody, we all want to help each other.
Yeah.
Let's make this country a better place. Let's make yourself better. Let's all get better together.
Well, Herb Thompson, much success to you in the future, sir. Anything we can do to, you're already successful, but anything we can do to help you, sir, please reach out to me. It's been an honor having you on the show. Thank you so much for your honorable service to this great country, sir.
No, I appreciate it. And like, I just want to reiterate, you know, I know this is, you know, mostly law enforcement listen to this, and truly, that's like unsung heroes right there. Like I've said before, no thanks. And I'm not gonna lie, I might have got a speeded ticket or two, and I wasn't necessarily the happiest person. But I was, hey, thank you, officer. You know, have a great day. Yeah. I just wish more people did that, because I see, you know, stuff like that not happen. And it's, you guys keep our community safe here at home. And without you, you know, this place would be chaos.
Well, I do think, really quick, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that support law enforcement. Oh, I say this all the time. I just wish they were more vocal, brother.
Vocal. Yep.
Yeah. Herb Thompson, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother. Much success for you. Please take care.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.